Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
Hello and welcome back to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'm Brian Strauser, Principal and CEO at BrightPath. This week, I want to talk about active shooter situations and violent incidents that occur in the workplace. And specifically, I want to highlight some recommendations from an article that was in MarketWatch on May 28th of this year, because I thought that it included a really succinct and valuable set of recommendations. And it really highlights how employers, managers, workers, and human resources professionals can help prevent violent incidents at work. And I would add, because it leaves this out, the role of the security professional and crisis management team in such things as well. So let's take a look. They have 11 recommendations, and I want to just talk through these briefly and highlight some of my own personal experiences with these. The first is a recommendation that companies have more than a zero tolerance policy. We heard a lot 10 or 15 years ago about having zero tolerance workplace violence policies, zero tolerance weapons in schools policies, zero tolerance violence policies. And there's certainly value in that. But workplace violence prevention shouldn't be limited just to traditional zero tolerance policies around threats, fights, and sexual harassment. These are still important, and I don't want to diminish the importance of taking these kind of incidents seriously. But we should also have policies and programs that educate employees on warning signs of leading folks to a workplace violence incident. That can be changes in behavior and sudden withdrawal, depression, disgruntlement. And none of these really fall under the traditional zero tolerance policies. We should have maybe perhaps described as zero tolerance based policies, but we need these other elements to be in a part of that. The second recommendation is to create a relaxed, open, and transparent work culture. And really what they're getting at here in the article is that hostile, fearful environments don't help. You want a workplace that is comfortable in communicating warning signs and red flags rather than this more fearful culture that erodes trust and creates a chilling atmosphere for your employees. I think the best way to describe this when it comes to this issue is that we want employees who are willing to speak up if they see behavior that makes them worry about their safety or the safety of someone else in the workplace. The next recommendation is to not respond to reports in a punitive nature. And certainly there are times when you may need to look at terminating or suspending or involving law enforcement after learning about an incident. That probably shouldn't be the default reaction. The default reaction should be to look into the situation and understand what's going on before actions are taken. Punitive actions that are purely punitive probably will not have much impact. The next recommendation is to establish mental health support and policies and be open about them with the team, with employees. What we should be looking for here is a beneficent response that helps the person that's in need. That could be referring them to an employee assistance program, arranging for them to receive mental health care, transitioning them to a role that might better suit them. Even if that employee needs to be terminated, then consider severance or outplacement assistance. This is something that comes up a lot when we're helping a company with a particular workplace violence situation as a part of our threat management services. There are behaviors and actions that should result in someone's termination. And I don't want to stand in the way of that. But sometimes letting people down easy diminishes the threat. That might be, some severance pay. It could be outplacement assistance. It could be a continuation of their mental health care benefits. But just up and up firing someone because they've made a threat without considering what other actions might be required in order to maintain safety in the workplace isn't something that you want to do. The next recommendation is to show passion rather than fear or recrimination. Again, one that I think is valuable to consider when you're interacting with the individual who perhaps has made threats or engaged in other inappropriate behavior, is they're still a person. They're still an individual. And we want to avoid disrespecting them or trying to humiliate them, because that's not going to help the threat situation or the disgruntledness that this individual might have that you're dealing with. This really will help the organization in a lot of ways. I think that in most times in these difficult situations, showing compassion rather than fear or recrimination is always a better approach. The next recommendation is to make people comfortable with reporting concerns. Again, this goes back to a little bit to not responding to reports in a punitive nature. When folks come forward with concerns, we want to make sure they don't get thrown under the bus, so to speak, for reporting misbehavior. We want to ensure confidentiality, and we want to encourage them to be as accurate and as detailed as possible in their reporting. You know, we shouldn't position this as a way to get people in trouble. They're taking this action in order to ensure the safety of everyone that's involved. The next recommendation is to make it easy for people who are lower in the totem pole to make reports, that their position in the company should not matter. They are often going to be, as a frontline worker, going to be the first to know about troubling behavior, and you can make a difference. They can make a difference by speaking up. And we want to give them multiple avenues to report things. They could approach their boss, but maybe it's their boss's behavior that's in question. So we want them to feel comfortable approaching security or human resources, an employee relations representative, local law enforcement, or even some type of confidential reporting hotline in order to report this behavior that they see. The next recommendation, which one that we've echoed here many times, is to assemble a threat management team, or you can outsource one through a firm such as ours or many others that are out there today. This is a multidisciplinary collaborative effort amongst the company's security team, human resources, legal department, a local law enforcement, perhaps labor unions, senior leaders, and other experts. The point is that as things are reported, as inappropriate behavior or threats or domestic violence concerns are reported, this threat management team reviews them in a systematic way. They're able to make decisions about the severity of this particular situation and then be able to guide the right mitigation strategies and planning, both for the organization and for the employee or employees that are at risk or that are engaged in this behavior. There's great data around making this, how this works and the value that it can provide. And certainly it's something that we believe in very much. We believe threat assessment teams can help figure out whether or not someone is on the path to violence and helping to uncover the problems or the desperation they might be facing. This is a very valuable tool for an organization to use and something that we can help with here at BrightPath. The next recommendation is to be aware of domestic violence issues. About 1 in 3 homicides in the workplace are among U.S. women that has been perpetrated by somebody that has a personal relationship to that employee. And these are almost always intimate partners or some other type of domestic or personal violence. We should encourage our employees to bring their protective orders to the attention of the company and refer them to domestic violence advocacy resources where that's possible. The next recommendation is to take a climate survey or an opinion survey with the employees on a regular basis to gauge how they feel about questions like workplace safety, workplace security, and fairness. And we want to be transparent about those results, even if they're poor. And then our last recommendation from the article is that if you work in human resources, try to have a stronger presence with the staff, with the workers at your place of business. HR has a tendency, because of their role, to see employees on both their best and worst day, which is when they're hired and when they're fired. And in a lot of companies don't have a lot of interaction in between. But I think there's great value in having HR as a very integral part of your leadership team, and a very visible part of interacting with your workforce. The goal out of all of these recommendations is to have a company with a good culture that's open and transparent, a place where employees can bring and escalate their concerns about the workplace and about, you know, the behavior or threatening behavior of others, and to have a safe and secure environment for all of the employees at your company. That's it for this week's episode of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. Be sure to join us for our weekly Facebook Live every Thursday at 12 o'clock Central Time on our Facebook page at facebook.com/brightpath. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.